This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Our number two, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Chris Canty in the 2 o'clock hour as we break down more of your NFL week five with like storyline on top of storyline on top of storyline. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. Now for you, this is Overreaction Monday time. So it's 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We get to your calls on your overreactions to what your team or what you saw in week five. We will get to a couple here, but want to remind you, week five is not over yet. We still have one more game, and that is tonight, Monday Night Football, Colts, Ravens. And for the Colts, I mean, Bart Scott, it's winning time.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's not an easy game, certainly not an easy place to play in Baltimore, but
Baltimore puts on a show.
I know.
Like, I'm talking about, like, the intros is ridiculous, man. I can't wait to see what they come up with. Last week, they honored Omar with the whistle coming out, man, and the fireworks to Omar. I forget his name. Williams died. I forget his real name. Jeez.
What are you talking about?
I'm horrible.
Michael
Williams.
Right,
Williams.
Michael K. Right. Yeah. So, but if you're Chris Ballard, Frank Reich, it's time. Like, it is time, because look at the AFC. I mean, it is open. It's there.
They better win their division.
You could argue. We can discuss who the favorites are, who now is better than whom, and all that stuff. But it's still, the bottom line is if you want to be in this party, because it's going to be a packed house, you got to get in early. And the Colts do not want to be on the outside looking in, obviously. So this Monday Night Football preview brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Commercial insurance through Progressive protects your business and your dream. Choose from over 30 coverage options at ProgressiveCommercial.com. So here's a couple of our overreactions. The first one, let's go to your podcast, Organized Chaos. You, Rex Ryan, every week breaking down the week of games. And really, this caught my attention. We did talk to Mort about this earlier in the show. But here's Rex talking about a situation in Dallas involving how good Kellen Moore has become as an offensive coordinator and what his future might be.
Do you really think – I think he's going to be a head coach next year.
Yeah, me too.
I really do. However, I think it might be in Dallas. Like, you really think you think Jerry Jones is going to let this man walk?
Yeah, that's how Jason Garrett got his, right?
I'm telling you, it's not the first time it's happened. We've seen Jerry do some crazy things, like letting Jimmy Johnson go to bring in Barry Switzer. Like, I don't think for a second he ain't going to pull the trigger. He ain't going to lose, you know, Boy Wonder there. I mean, that kid's done a hell of a job. I just think, you watch, Bart. I think before it's all said and done, I would not be shocked if he's the head coach of Dallas Cowboys.
The voice of Rex Ryan on Organized Chaos Podcast with Bart Scott every week, every Monday. You can hear it breaking down the week of games. So you talked to him about it. Obviously, heard your voice on that thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like pretty logical. If you're Jerry Jones, would you like to see him go to another team?
You would.
And have great success with a quarterback, and then Dak go, oh, wait, I just lost a guy that I have great synergy with, and now everything changes. You want to do whatever it takes to make sure he stays there. And if he says, well, I want to be a head coach.
Yeah.
I mean, Mike McCarthy's been – what does he do? He's already been under enough criticism about his, you know, time management. But you have Dan Quinn running the defense.
Yeah.
Moore's running the offense.
It's crazy.
Would it really make that big of a difference if they did make that kind of change? You just say, all right, Kellen, we'll make you the head coach.
Well, it's a lot more responsibilities when you're a head coach than just being an offensive coordinator. We've seen guys like Dan Campbell struggle to be a head coach, right, because he was supposed to be a defensive mastermind. Well, what happened in Atlanta when he tried to be a defensive mastermind and a head coach? That defense was horrible, and it got him fired eventually. You know, the thing is, right, with Kellen Moore, you talk about the synergy that he has with Dak Prescott. You know, it's like one of those things, right, because Mike McCarthy, I'm sure, is going to try and say, hey, listen, we do some of my concepts. It's not all about him, because Mike McCarthy was an offensive guy. You know, it was his offense that Aaron Rodgers ran there. But we have a feeling like it's different, right? We feel like maybe this is all Kellen Moore's offense and his innovation, and it feels like Mike McCarthy had that stagnant offense, and that's eventually what got him fired. So I think Kellen Moore gets more credit than, say, a guy like Eric Bieniemy may get, because they feel like Andy Reid is running the offense. Because it's crazy how, like, he's a head coaching candidate, but Eric Bieniemy's been, you know, probably the offense coordinator for one of the best offenses for the last 3 to 4 years. And you know, his name is starting to die down. You don't hear his name as prevalent as you used to. But, you know, if I'm Jerry Jones, what he does is probably do exactly what – you know, Jason Garrett did. Remember, Jason Garrett was offered the job for the Baltimore Ravens before Harbaugh got there. He turned it down because Jerry said, hey, I'll make you the assistant head coach and make you the highest paid coordinator in the league. And I think that's the route that you go for. And if this offense continues to play at a high level and they win a championship, what you do with Kellen Moore is eventually you just wait till McCarthy's contract's up and you don't renew it. Well, that's now he's in his second year. He probably has a five-year contract. You tell Kellen Moore, we're going to give you the head coaching job of the Dallas Cowboys in 3 years. But in the meantime, we're going to make you the highest paid offensive, you know, coordinator, because remember, there's no salary cap on coaches. Mm-hmm. Jerry has more than enough money. So Jerry offer a match, whatever some other team says, and say, eventually you're going to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. And that's worth his way
to
go.
So you just give him an offer he can't refuse. Hugh is in Michigan and he's tired of hearing about Dallas Cowboys. Hugh.
Yeah, I'm tired of hearing about the Dallas Cowboys. And year after year after year, they talk about Dallas, whether they stink up the field or this year they're on a little bit of a roll. Okay, they're on a little bit of a roll, but they should have lost to San Diego. San Diego had two touchdowns called back, and San Diego's on a hell of a roll. So why don't we talk about San Diego? Why don't we talk about San Diego all first hour.
Here's why we don't talk about San Diego. There's no team there anymore.
Yeah, it's Los Angeles. But yeah.
Okay, the Chargers, sorry.
Well, I got you.
We've been talking about the Chargers all morning. We just talked about Herbert being an MVP candidate. You got to understand that, you know, Dallas is always in the media. It's one of the biggest media markets. It's the most popular franchise. But this is the year that they're living up to expectations.
It's America's team, man. But, I mean, you know how it goes. They've got a huge fan base, so they always get excited about their team. And for once, we saw a team that didn't. Like you thought against the Giants, and we'll get to that game in a little bit. You thought they were going to, you know, show up, reading their press clippings, feel good about themselves, and they were ready to get got. They did not.
They're ready to get
They're
ready to get got. It was 10-10. Don't act like I was wrong. Like Bartradamus was wrong. I just missed in my reading that
you
Saquon
didn't notice
Barkley,
the two injuries that are going to happen.
I missed that part that Saquon Barkley would injure himself on a play when he just walking, and a Dallas Cowboy player just took him out, swept the leg. You know, that was how do you kick Saquon in his ankle like that? Well, he swept the leg.
You think he did it on purpose?
Yeah, he swept the leg.
Stop it. All right. So you know what though? He wanted us to talk about the Chargers. Let's go ahead and do that.
Okay.
Because that finish was crazy. And here's another overreaction as we continue overreaction Monday with you, and we'll continue with your calls throughout it as well. Brandon Staley didn't know really what he was doing late in the game. He didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah.
They had a plan, but he didn't know that the plan was flawed and got away with it. Now, let me explain. As you remember, they had a first and goal with 1:31 left.
Yeah.
Trailing by one. And the Browns were out of timeouts. You had the game in hand. All you had to do was wait, run out the clock, kick a field goal. So what they decided to do was hand off the ball to Austin Ekeler. Okay, fine. And Austin Ekeler, who had just before that, was smart and slid to get to that first and goal. So instead of when they handed it to Ekeler, Ekeler thought, and this is what Staley thought as well, he said, we told him, do not score.
Right.
And he thought once he gave himself up, this is how Staley explained it, That's it. The play is dead, and then the clock continues. But the Browns defense did something that is, of course, against anything any defensive player was ever taught, but yet in this moment was a great strategy.
Yeah.
Pick him up and throw him in the end zone.
Yeah.
Give up the touchdown. Incredible, but true. So that's what happened. And Staley admitted that he didn't know that that's how it works. He goes like this, quote, smart play by them. It's something we'll have to talk about and continue to develop so we can get better on that in the future. So he's basically admitting he didn't know that they could do that. And he said, I have to get a ruling. My interpretation, you can't be pulled in. You see that Austin's clearly trying to go down. I feel like I need to get an interpretation on that. I certainly did not want to go in on that one.
How many times have we seen running backs sitting there and their team come hits the pile and push them in? Now, I understand that the defense didn't pull them in, but you have to understand.
But why wouldn't then the offensive lineman push the other
way? Yeah, because they could have pushed it to
like
the side.
Like rugby and everybody
just pushed it back and scrum. Well, they had the wrong side to push. They would have had to pull. It would be like tug of war.
But all the defensive players got on the other side of Ekeler and just shoved them in. It was hysterical. Like, so, I've never seen anything like it, but Staley didn't know the
So here's his interpretation. And this is where they didn't execute. He knew the rule, but he didn't execute it the proper way.
Take a knee, please.
Exactly. So that's what he has to do, because what happens is giving yourself up when momentum is stopped is when the defense, you know, has a stalemate and they're pushing you back the other way.
Yes.
That's forward momentum stop. Your forward momentum never stopped because they pulled you.
Yeah.
So your momentum continued to move forward. When Ekeler
He's saying he gave himself up, which
no, he didn't give himself up.
He was standing.
He was still standing. You give yourself up by taking a knee. right? Or laying on the ground. So, like, Austin Ekeler, once they came to grab him, he should have just fell down and fell to a knee. But they picked him up because he's lightweight. He's a micro mini pimp.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he couldn't go down. But if he would have touched a knee, then he would have been down by contact. But it was something that could have came back and hurt him if yes. It wasn't Baker Mayfield on the other side of the field.
All right, we'll get to your calls here in a moment. But there's one more overreaction to make here, and let's get to it. And that is the Tom Brady, Antonio Brown, quarterback wide receiver duo. It's the deadliest. It's the most difficult to cover. It is the toughest. It is the best quarterback wide receiver combo in the NFL. Tell me I'm wrong.
Well,
how good are those two? And it's amazing the non-verbal. That's the best way to put it. The non-verbal, like as if Brady just looks at me like you and I on the air. Like I just look at you and you know exactly what I'm thinking. Like it that takes time, and they haven't had that much time together. But he just knows exactly how to use Antonio
Brown.
Antonio Brown knows
football players.
Exactly what Tom Brady needs. Like, oh, I know what he's doing, and he gets to the spot. They're amazing together.
I guess, you know, I mean, is it the best combination? I guess.
Name me another one.
Well, Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers might say that. You know, I mean, it's some that's brewing.
Yep.
But I wondered, is the better question, is this the best connection that Tom Brady's ever had? Because the one with Amendola was fierce. The one with Wes Walker was crazy. The one when he set the record with Randy Moss was ridiculous. But I wonder if this one's the best.
Is this one the best you've ever seen?
Yeah, Marvin Harrison and Peyton Manning was Triller, too.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's been a lot in history, of course.
Even Drew Brees and Marcus Colston. People talk about Michael Thomas, but the one with him and Marcus Colston was ridiculous,
too. Kyler Murray and D. Hopkins is...
Megatron and Stafford.
Yeah, but did it... I mean...
Yeah, I'm not just talking about the best combination.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the result.
Burrow, Jamar Chase has become something special, right? Hasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, that's become something
Murray
to watch.
Hopkins.
Yes, just mentioned that one. Stafford and seems to love throwing a Cooper Cup everywhere he goes, and Robert Woods is like, yo, don't forget about me. I'm probably more talented. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. All right, let's get to some calls. You know, there's so much to get to with everybody, and even we haven't gotten to, of course, a place near and dear to your heart, Detroit, Lyon, and the heartbreak that continues.
Heartbreak
with
hotel,
that,
man.
Poor franchise just continues. My goodness. Let's see. Let's go to Jonathan in Georgia. Come on, Jonathan.
Fellas, I have two quick points. First, I don't think Dallas is the best team in the NFC, but for people who feel that way, I don't have a problem. My question to you on this point is, do people regard Dallas as the best team in the NFC simply because they're exceeding expectations or because they're really the best team?
Has anybody called them the best team in the NFC? Not while the Bucs are still there.
Yeah, because they lost to the Bucs, and the Bucs are going to eventually get those cornerbacks back.
Yeah.
And you talk about weapon for weapon at the end of the day.
But are they overachieving or are they exceeding expectations? Is that the way to put it?
No, this is the easy part of their schedule, too, as well. They should have lost to the Chargers, but this is the easy part of their schedule. They have one of the easiest schedules this year based on, you know, power rankings of the, you know, opponents that they faced from the year before. So, listen, you know, I think we always are accustomed to just the Dallas finding a way to mess it up. But even when they may not mess it up, right? You know, but, you know, if they win the division, they're going to face a wild card team, and the wild card team could potentially be Arizona, could be potentially the Rams. And I don't think they'll be a favorite. I think that'll be a 50-50 game.
All right, let's take Sean in Florida. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, guys, the Giants season is possibly over at this point with three injuries happening in the first half against the Cowboys, and it sucks the Giants fan to see not just Saquon go down, but losing Daniel Jones and Kenny Galladay, too, it's pretty much just spelled, you know, doom for the franchise this season. I know we start off with a 0-3 record, but losing all three starters and returns not known, it's...
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be a long season for the Giants.
You know what it is? It's Sean. There are games that happen in a season where you feel like, boy, if we can just get this one right, you just feel like get this and get some momentum, and you feel like maybe you have some. You know, you beat the Saints, you start to feel good about things. Saquon looks like he's starting to break out of it and becoming himself. Daniel Jones looks like a stud, and then a game like this happens, and Bart, don't you get that sense? I don't know, athletes probably don't, players don't, but just from a perspective of the outside looking in. You go, yeah, no, it ain't going to happen this year. Like something like that.
That's tough.
Like a game like that, as brutal as that game was physically for this team, Daniel Jones doing whatever it takes to try to get into the end zone, lowers his head. and you know, takes the brunt of it and gets the concussion. Saquon, another injury. Now, it's not as bad as it looked. In fact, they think he could be available sooner rather than later. But still, man.
They discovered something, though. They discovered that their offense should go through Tony, right?
Kadarius Tony. And he's not going to be suspended. Jordan Renan said he won't be suspended for that punch that didn't land, but still was not something that Joe Judge was happy about.
Well, it's just frustration, right?
Of course.
I think he deserved to be a little frustrated. Everybody was chippy. It was a divisional opponent. Worst things have happened. You know, the problem is they got the Rams next, and I don't know if that's a day off, but they have the Rams coming to them. And we've seen them last year, upset some teams they weren't supposed to upset. You know, Andrews will be back. You know, I think Glennon, you know, accounted himself very, very well. I think, you know.
Oh, Andrew Thomas, you meant. Yeah.
Yeah, Andrew Thomas, right. You know, and listen, their schedule, you know, it doesn't get easy anytime soon.
No, it does not.
Because they got the Rams, they got Carolina, then they have the Chiefs. But I wouldn't be surprised if they beat the Chiefs. I wouldn't be surprised now that Vegas game doesn't. Well, never mind. I take it back.
You got to understand, man. Where are they? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it just felt like.
Yeah, they still got Dallas twice to charge. Yeah, it's a wrap. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I'm sorry. I apologize. Yeah, it's a wrap.
Let's go to Chris in Atlanta. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, guys. I'm glad I got you all because I don't know if you remember a few months ago, I mentioned that Zach Wilson was like the Darko Milicic of the NFL. After yesterday's performance, yikes. I'm kind of, you know, looking at it like that may come true. Hopefully not. Though.
But what? I'm not still going there. He has a lot to learn. I think he's great at the deep passes and the splashy stuff, you know, but he's not good at his fundamentals right now. Like, he's skipping passes that are short. He's got too much mustard on stuff that's short. He has to understand that. Remember, this is how Josh Allen was his first year. Like, he had great deep balls, but his accuracy was horrible. Right. And I think just right now, his fundamentals are all jacked up. You know, the worst thing that ever happened to the NFL is that Patrick Mahomes got here and he started doing stuff that people now practice. They practice arm angles and all that stuff. And they forget about the fundamentals. When you look at his feet aren't set. He's throwing the ball off one foot. And like just like Steph Curry, worst thing that ever happened to basketball. Best thing for him and the team, but worst thing to happen to
great
basketball.
Great for the NBA, not great for player development because you've got guys now doing things that are outside of their ability. That's what makes Steph Curry great. That's what makes Patrick Mahomes great. It's something that they can do, but it's not for everyone. Right. Otherwise,
now
if everyone can do it.
Right, now it's trending.
It
now
wouldn't
you got
be
people
great.
Jacking up on fast breaks and jacking
point.
Up threes.
Yeah.
And Mahomes, same thing. Throwing it from the side, arm angle, hook shots, left hand, no looks, right? Worst thing to happen because guys won't think that they're just as good and they can do it.
Yeah.
No, you got to grow to that.
I don't see it. The Darko, there's no parallel there whatsoever. I mean, look at the other quarterbacks right now. I mean, does Trey Lance look like he's ready for the world right now? He's pressed into play.
Justin Fields
had to play.
Completed 11 passes.
Yeah, Justin Fields, they're playing him the smart way, what they're supposed to do there. And Mac Jones is, you know, that enthusiasm is starting to come back down a little bit as well for him.
Yeah.
Now, his teams are winning. You know, the thing with the Jets is not just about the kid. It's about everything around the kid, and we'll get deeper into that later in the show. Let's go to Jacob in Las Vegas. Jacob, as we continue, Overreaction Monday on Bart and Hahn. How you doing, Jacob?
Hi, guys. Good morning. How you doing?
Good.
Just wanted to go ahead and call out Matthew Stafford will be your NFC champion this year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm you
the
know,
Rams.
I'm, well, you know, I'm with it.
I mean, that's what Bart's been saying from the start.
I said that in April.
Yeah, that's hardly an overreaction.
The second time when they played the Cardinals, I think they got a lot of intel about how they were attacked, and I think that'll be a much better game going forward. You know, every team this year, no matter who it is, going to have these peaks and valleys, right? They're going to have games where they're just like, what's wrong with these dudes? Like, this is not what we saw last week. You know, it's just inevitable. Inevitable. Yeah, what you said.
Inevitable.
You know what I'm saying? It always happens. Like, you have just games where teams come out flat, where guys just don't have the fire, and they say, oh, we came out flat. And it's like, nah, we came out flat. It's just this team jumped on us, and they played more desperate than we did.
Okay, before we'll continue with your calls on this, but you know what? We do have to, though, talk about an 0-5 team that is like the best 0-5 team we've ever seen. I mean, the Detroit Lions, it's amazing that – Dan Campbell goes for two, and you're thinking, not going for the tie? You're going for two? You're going for the win? And I'm like, go ahead, Dan Campbell. And they get it. Jared Goff gets it done. I'm thinking, get your win. And then I'm going, no. There's like 37 seconds left. There's no way they're going to do this right. This isn't going to happen again. Not again. And it happened. They lose on a field goal. It's amazing. The first time in NFL history to lose two games in the same season on a 50-plus yard field goal as time expired, both of them 19-17. Of course, it was against the Ravens earlier this season. Here's Dan Campbell dealing with yet another tough loss.
when you see your players give all that they have and you lose that way, it's tough. You know, you don't want that for them. So, but we'll be better for it, you know. And there again, credit Minnesota, but we made the one mistake that cost us, you know. And so ultimately, you know, it we didn't do enough to win. But I was proud of them, and I love the fight they have in them, and I love the grit.
There is something about the Lions, though, that's so compelling. Dan Campbell, we made fun of the whole biting the kneecaps and all that stuff, but his team plays hard. That's what he did promise you, and he's delivering on that promise. They're just not delivering on wins right now, but you sure feel bad for that team. Another head coach, however, is in some hot water for racially insensitive comments that he made a decade ago. Is an apology enough? We'll discuss that next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting small businesses with specialized coverages for commercial vehicles. More at progressivecommercial.com. So we've got your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We got to get to that. We got Chris Candy coming up in the 2 o'clock hour to break down more of the NFL. But Bart Scott, it's 1:30. What time is it?
Audio House.
I mean, this was such a busy weekend of sports. We did get to the fight Saturday night.
Yeah.
We will get to the college football. We've been talking a lot, of course, about Sunday and the NFL. But the baseball playoffs.
Is playoffs going on? Yeah,
come on, man. And that series between the Rays and the Red Sox has been wild. It really has been. I mean, it looked like after the first game, you're like, hey, yeah, the Rays are going to walk away with this. Exactly. And then game two was like unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, the bats came, the bats showed up, and a lot of runs are scored, a lot of home runs, and the series goes to Fenway. So two ballparks. One has rings, and they're in play.
And oatmeal ceiling. And like, you can't even lose a damn ball.
Yeah, and then the other one has a green monster and all kinds of weird ground rules as well that, of course, came into play as well. But what happened was a walk-off moment for Christian Vasquez, and he talked about it.
It's a big moment for us. It's a big win. I think, you know, it was no matter what inning, we need to do the job, and somebody need to do it, and, you know, I take charge there, and I did it. So it's, you know, we play good, and we ready for tomorrow.
Boy, he sounds thrilled, doesn't he?
Because he knows that, you know, you smile today, but you can be crying tomorrow. So, well, he's still locked in and focused.
And now tomorrow is today. That was a classic game, by the way, that game three. I mean, it really was.
Ball bounced. What ruled? The ball bounced and went over the you know, hit off the player, went over the wall.
Yeah, was it Renfro?
And it made
Renfro
it like
hits him in the chest. It goes over.
Off the wall, off his chest, yeah. Over the wall.
And so instead of the Rays having a run score in that 11th, it's at 11th, right? And a runner on third. Ended up being second and third because they called it a ground rules double,
yeah.
Which created this whole argument of, wait a minute, it hit the player. How is that not considered, you know, just should be wherever, you know, like give him the base.
Yeah.
He was already on his way to third base. To home. He already scored, actually.
Because if it didn't go off and he picked the ball up and threw it, he would have already been at home.
That's a good point. So what a wild one again. 13 innings, 6-4 final because of Vasquez, and – you know, the series now continues today What time does that game start? 7 o'clock tonight, game four, and the Red Sox.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, Monday Night Football and baseball. I need pitcher? I'm going to get my little TV and put it on top of my big TV.
But the Red Sox could eliminate the Rays. Think about that. They could eliminate the Rays, which is a team that everybody thought would be the favorite to win it all. So you never know when we get to the postseason. And the road to the World Series goes through ESPN Radio. Catch all the postseason action presented by AutoZone on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. All right, we move back to the NFL because it's a story. So we talked earlier in the show to Chris Mortensen about this. And as you know, Bart, like this is a story that has a lot to explain. And it has to do with John Gruden and an email that was leaked. One that he wrote to was Bruce Allen, right?
Yeah, of Washington. Of course, Bruce Allen's going to try and get some.
Now, this is back in 2011.
Yeah, while he was an analyst.
When Gruden was working for ESPN as an analyst, and he made some disparaging remarks about DeMar Smith, who was the union executive.
Right. Racially insensitive.
Yeah, and he said, right, he said his, what did he say?
He's not racist.
No. The comment was Michelin lips.
Yeah.
Now,
exactly.
He's saying that his explanation is that that's a saying. He has rubber lips, meaning you're a liar. And so rubber tires, Michelin, that's what he was saying.
But understand traditionally how black people were exploited and they had the lips and they had dark skin. They made them pink. And you think about all the racist posters from back in the civil rights era and all that stuff. Like lips is a very sensitive thing when you talk about African Americans.
It's clearly lack of awareness, but also, again, in a private email
maybe
that
not.
He sent. Yeah, well, that, of course, now is up for interpretation. But John Gruden did have to, of course, talk about the situation. And here is Gruden talking about the leaked email.
All I can say is I'm not a racist. I can't tell you how sick I am. I apologize again to D. Smith. But I feel good about who I am and what I've done my entire life. And I apologize for the insensitive remarks. I had no racial intentions with those remarks at all. But yes, they can. I'm not like that at all. But I apologize. I don't want to keep addressing it.
So a lot of his players did have his back, as of course, despite the fact that they played a game, all the reporters were going to ask the players and of course him, as you heard there.
They didn't play well. So I wonder how it affected them.
Right, they lose 20-9 to the Bears and a rookie quarterback, and this is after they got off to a great start. And people thought this might be the year for the Raiders. Gruden then was asked if this was, like you said, a distraction to the team.
No, I can't speak for everybody. You know, we had a touchdown call back. We had two holding penalties. And I can't speak for everybody. They're a good football team on defense. And they're rallying around their young quarterback with a new play caller, and they ran the ball extremely well. But I'm not going down that road.
Okay. I mean, Bart.
His players are being asked about it. He's having to address it. We don't know if the NFL is going to get involved. Because at the end of the day, like, you know, we've seen other people in other industries have comments that they didn't have, and they run for politics or they run for something, they come to it, and they're forced to resign or things are forced to take place. I don't know if the NFL or Mark Davis says, hey, well, we have to give you a suspension or a fine. But, you know, the people out there are going to want a pound of flesh. And when you make these type of remarks and you coach a team that has 80% or 70% African-Americans on it, you have to answer to that.
Yeah. Now, Josh Jacobs after the game said, I've been around this guy for 3 years now. I've never felt a certain type of way about him.
Means nothing.
He said he's never rubbed me a certain way, that type of way. I mean, what he said is what he said at the end of the day, too. But, I mean, I definitely trust him. It was 10 years ago. People grow. I mean, that's, you know.
So, does people grow? Does that mean that he thinks that it was racist back then, but he thinks that he's grown? So it's like one of those things, like, and this is a young player. And when you go to young players, they don't always understand the world and can't always articulate what they're feeling. But, you know, you talk about, it's easy to talk to somebody that John Gruden likes. You would have to talk to a player that he didn't like.
I'll give you some more. All right, so Denzel Perriman, the linebacker, who just came to the team, he said, I let it go as soon as we walked out of the meeting room. I wasn't focused on that, still not focused on it. I don't know what he said. I could care less, honestly. Honestly, I don't know how many years ago it was, but my main focus this week was on the Bears, not whatever he had going on. Yannick Ngakoue, all right, another player. He was asked specifically how black players on the team were feeling. He said this. No comment on that. and that's basically it. So, I mean, if you're a player in that locker room, Bart Scott, are you looking at John Gruden differently?
Well, now my antennas is up, right? And now he has to be sensitive about the way he continues to communicate. And listen, it takes a disgruntled player to come back and see about how they were feel, but then you have to understand that maybe that guy was disgruntled. I can't speak to whether John Gruden is a racist or not. I don't know. Like, you can be around people all their life, and as long as you're able to help them to forward their initiative, they are tolerant of you. So I can't speak to it, you know, but John Gruden definitely has some.
Do you buy his explanation?
Michelin? No, because
you're saying rubber lips. That means you're a liar.
Lips and hair is the most racial, you know, components when you talk about African Americans, because it's usually what differentiates us from other races, is that we have bigger lips and our hair is usually different. So, like, that's like talking about black women hair. That's a touchy subject in the African American community. And so it's almost like talking about a Jewish person nose, right? Like when you make things, you know, about, you know, certain attributes of a race, then it's issues. Just like if you talk about an Asian person's eyes, right? We all know what that means and where it comes from.
Well, the NFL, again, because he wasn't coaching in the league, you know, I don't know how the NFL handles it, but it is definitely something that is becoming a topic of conversation around John Gruden and the Raiders right now. And if he's saying, don't want to talk about it anymore.
You don't control that.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think that it's up to you what you're being asked about. So that's really where it is right now for a team that only a week ago or 2 weeks ago we were feeling like was finally on their way after he had gotten started there on a 10-year contract. All right, that's Audio Files brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. So coming up, Alabama now goes down in college football. Talk about a Saturday in college football with some wild finishes, crazy games. The Red River rivalry was off the charts. Now, any playoff hopes for Alabama? Playoff hopes might have gone down with just one loss. We will discuss. We will also take your calls on Overreaction Monday at 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Barton on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Bart and Han.
Back to Bart and Han. Bart Scott, we are through with one more game, of course, tonight with the Colts and the Ravens. But we are through 5 weeks of the NFL season, and things have changed dramatically in these 5 weeks from the teams that we thought would be dominating the league, teams that we thought would even win the Super Bowl. That has even changed, even in the eyes of Vegas, as the Kansas City Chiefs, for the first time since January of 2020, are not the favorite, according to Vegas, to win the Super Bowl. So with that in mind, let's do a little power ranking.
Let's do it.
5 weeks in, power ranking the top five teams, according to Bart Scott, in the NFL. And at number five, you have the only undefeated team left, the Arizona Cardinals. Explain.
Well, I think the Arizona Cardinals are doing a lot of good things, right? They did beat the Rams within that division. You know, they could have lost to Minnesota, but that's every week in the NFL. I think Kyler Murray's proven that he can play the, you know, quarterback position from the pocket, and you can't really emulate what he does as far as being able to buy time outside of the pocket. I think they've done a great job in improving his defense. It's a well-rounded team, but I'm just not really ready to kind of throw them up to the number one, number two like most people want to do just because they're undefeated.
Because the fact that you have them at five, though, there's a team or two that is not in this top five that are going to really set some people off. But four, you have the Rams. I mean, that's pretty much right where you would see them right now. They have a terrific quarterback in Matthew Stafford. They've got a lot of offense. They've got a really good defense. They're going to be there in the end. So they're four. At three, you have Buffalo. And I'm surprised you don't have them a little bit higher after their performance last night against the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, the Chiefs, like, you know, Mahomes doesn't turn four turnovers. That's like not typical, right? So if they play that game, you know, five times.
But they didn't have to. They played it once.
I understand. It'd be a lot closer, right? And it's just like sometimes things happen. The kid, you know, fumbling on special teams. I know it didn't hurt them, but yeah, I got them number three.
It's interesting because you still have another AFC team ahead of them, which I'm surprised. But and also, there's two LA teams, and the Rams aren't the best one, according to you. You have the Chargers at number two.
Yeah, I have the Chargers. Chargers really should have had that win against – they beat the Chiefs as well, right? And they really should have beat the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, you talk about touchdowns being called back, bad calls. You know, you talk about the sack that wasn't a sack because he still was palming Parsons' face and he threw the ball and lost like 20, 30 yards from the like 1 yard line. So I still have them because I believe slightly better in their defense And listen, their quarterback and their offensive line. I mean, I think that's the key. When you talk about out of this top five, you could argue that maybe, just maybe, the Chargers have the best offensive line out of everybody in the NFL.
And that's the one that's most important. And then number one, the Bucs, which is what Vegas has as well as a Super Bowl favorite. You have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Tom Brady and company at number one.
Yeah, you got terrific Tom. He just has two of everything. I mean, eventually Gronk's going to come back. You got OJ the Juice Man. You got Cameron Brate. But, you know, his connection with Antonio Brown is ridiculous. Yep. But, you know, that which makes Mike Evans the third receiver when you talk about Godwin, you talk about Scotty Miller. Mm-hmm. They just have so many different ways that they can attack you. And the defense isn't as dominant as it was last year, but eventually they'll get all those DBs back. They're winning with four DBs out of Richard Sherman fresh off the couch.
It's been good enough. So, again, recapping Bart Scott's top five power rankings in the NFL. You got Tampa at number one, the Chargers at number two, the Bills at three, the Rams at four, and you have the Cardinals at five, which leaves out the Dallas Cowboys, the Green Bay Packers, and your Baltimore Ravens.
I mean, listen, they're on the outside looking in. I think, you know, you talk about the Packers. They come close a couple of times. I mean, you talk about the kicker from Cincinnati. Cincinnati's not, you know, probably in the top 10, and you talk about Cincinnati giving them everything that they want. You know, so I don't believe in their defense as well. Maybe Jalen Mills can help them out. Baltimore, I have to see what happens with Bateman's coming back.
All right, well, that's the top five. More from us coming next. Bart Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. So, I mean, you talk, again, a wild sports weekend, as we've been talking about, and then you get college football, which, I mean, I was locked into the Red River rivalry, the Texas-Oklahoma game, which was just so compelling. It was just unbelievable. At one point, it looked like Oklahoma was just going to be run out of the gym, or, of course, the field, as it may be. And they make a quarterback change. Rattler suddenly is on the sideline. They bring in
Heisman Faithful, right?
Well, maybe not anymore. They bring in a true freshman, and everything changes. The whole game changes, and a shootout ensues, and you've got a back and forth that was just for the ages. It was so much fun to watch that game all the way to the end, and then Oklahoma holds on and gets the dub off an incredible run.
Saves their season,
absolutely does. Then on top of it, you get another Texas team. This is A&M goes in.
Jimbo Fisher, former assistant.
And he beats
first one.
Nick Saban and Alabama. And so just talk about a field goal at the end. 41-30 at another shootout. Crimson Tide winning streak ends at, 19 games, I believe, right? So now we get the new AP Top 25. Mm-hmm. And things have changed dramatically. You see it right now on ESPN+. Georgia and their 6-0 perfect record and their tough defense jumps from 2-1. Iowa now at number two. They're undefeated, and they had themselves a hell of a weekend as well.
Iowa.
Cincinnati. You got to love them. And that story just continues to grow, and they move up to three at 5-0. And then Oklahoma holding on. Now, this is like the fact that they held on to win should have cost them a little, but it didn't. And they're 6-0, so they go to four, which means Alabama falls from 1-5.
Outside of the postseason, looking in.
Suddenly Nick Saban's like, I think we should expand the playoffs.
I think we believe that one of these teams are going to come back to earth. It's just crazy to see Big Ten teams ranked so high, because when the Big Ten teams or Notre Dame get in the postseason, they always let you down, right?
Yeah.
You know, because they just don't seem like they have quite the athletes or the depth of skill position players as some of the other conferences, because they're built for their region. You know, big linemen, not fast twitch athletes, big athletes, but not fast. It's going to be interesting to see, because a lot of this stuff is going to clarify itself, right? Michigan going to play Penn State. Ohio State's going to play Michigan. Michigan State's going to play Michigan. They're all going to play Iowa.
Yeah, we forgot to mention that Michigan is still undefeated, too.
Yeah.
What's going on there, and they're in the top 10. But
khaki pants.
But going back to Captain Khaki, going back, though, to the story with Alabama, I mean, you're talking about the defending champs have a 54% chance just to make the playoffs now because of where they are right now, and more than likely will probably have to beat Georgia in the SEC championship.
Ooh.
So
you're saying Georgia can shut the door.
Could you imagine?
Because if Georgia loses to Alabama, they'll still probably only drop to fourth.
I mean, look at this. It's amazing to think about where they are right now. And Nick Saban discussed the loss on Saturday.
Obviously, this is a very disappointing loss for us. I know the players are very disappointed. But I think that everybody needs to remember how they feel and not forget it. Because when I talk about having respect for winning, That's what I mean. You want to avoid the feeling that you have when you lose.
Now, Texas A&M moves up to 21, by the way.
Is it another Is it another team that can maybe push Alabama? Maybe if they get two, then, I mean, can LSU give them the death blow? Right? Can Arkansas give them a death blow?
Arkansas certainly is not a team to overlook.
And I mean, Auburn and Bo Nix.
I don't know about all that, but still, this is because we talk about parity in the NFL. College football, this is really. And by the way, all those people in Georgia that have been saying this is the year for how many years?
They're like the Dallas Cowboys of college football.
Going all the way back to 1980. This is the year. We swear this time. Well, this is the year right now, Georgia.
They've been not messing up. They can't.
It's there for you.
That's the crazy part about college football, man. It's like one loss can derail your whole season. It's not the fact that Alabama lost. It's that they lost to an unranked team.
Yes.
That's what makes
First time they've done – I think it's like 100 games.
Yeah, that unranked team. That's what – you know, Antonio Cromartie actually coaches the DBs there because Jimbo Fisher, he played for him in Florida State. So it was good to see him get a good victory, you know what I mean? But it's going to be funny and it's going to be interesting because now all those people, Dabo Sweeney, everybody that was talking about the expansion of the – playoffs, I bet you they get the vote now.
Yeah, well, this would be the year where you can really make the case for it because there are so many compelling teams, and this has become the any given Saturday when you talk about that discussion of what could happen with some of these matchups and what we're seeing across the board. But really some compelling football on Saturday that set us up, of course, for what was a great NFL weekend on Sunday. And we have more for you to discuss about that, including both New York teams have been an absolute disaster this season. The Jets and Giants are 19-50 since the start of the 2017 season. Is there hope in New York? We'll discuss next. But we first say goodbye to ESPN Plus for the rest of the day on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.